Just coming out of your comfort zone of what you're used to as a filmmaker.
Sure.
I'm just curious for you, was there a reason that you said, I want to step out of that comfort zone? And how for you personally challenging was it to do it, to do something in scope that is so much bigger than it?
Right. You know, it's something that was growing. It wasn't like out of nowhere. It was definitely, you know, I had early conversations about Harry Potter and a lot of franchises. And so I imagined doing something on this scale and scope for a long, long time, just never. Maybe I was too chicken, and my wife would tell you I was too chicken. And she said I said yes to this just to spite her, because she would always say, you're never going to do anything that you haven't written. And I was like, oh, yeah, I said yes to Airbender. But it was something that I felt very connected to, the subject matter-wise. It just felt very natural. It's about kids' empowerment, the connection to nature, Hindu and Buddhist philosophies, martial arts, which not many people know, but I love it and I study it. There's a big, great Shakespearean backstory to the royal family, Zuko's family, and I'm a Shakespeare freak, and so all my loves are like in one subject here. And I'm, you know, obviously Star Wars devotee, as are Mike and Brian, who created the show, and I'm a Miyazaki devotee, and this is completely inspired by Miyazaki, and the boys were inspired by Miyazaki as well. I have a photo of Miyazaki, me and him in Japan in my office. So everything you can imagine said, this is the one for you.
And the scope didn't throw you off? I mean,
it doesn't. I was scared to death.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Okay. I was scared to death whether it would make any sense doing this kind of old school design storytelling on an epic scale. You know, there's Kurosawa did it with Ron, and I thought hugely successful, and then Kubrick did it in I'm blanking for a second, you know what I'm talking about, right? Spartacus.
Oh.
and so kind of like the quiet, contemplative, you know, approach to doing epics, I think could be an interesting thing for audiences, and a question of, you know, I tend to think of things as opera once it gets that big. And even Unbreakable, our first inclination was to do Unbreakable, score it with opera, only opera, the whole thing. That was our first attempt to try to do it, and we couldn't pull it off. But when I think of this movie and when we scored this movie, we watched the whole thing without any dialogue and just the score, and it played like opera with everything, the ballet and everything moving, and very poetic. It was cool.
So this, you know, really big movie, huge, different for you. And it's something you've been planning for years and years and years now. Yeah. I mean, you announced in the beginning of 2007. A lot of work, a lot of time.
Yeah.
Now it's finally here. How am I? Feeling nervous, excited?
I was saying, someone asked me this. Oh, the makeup lady asked me this. How are you feeling? I was like a bride on the wedding day. It's not like you can say one word would be appropriate. You know, you're worried, the florist coming. Is your mother-in-law going to be okay? Did they get that right? Did we pick the right day? Is it going to rain? And blah, blah, blah. You just have too much stuff to even enjoy. You're kind of the guest of honor and the one responsible, and you just, it's too complicated an emotion. I want to think back on my life and not have me not be there in every moment. Like I wasn't there when Sixth Sense happened, or Unbreakable happened, or any of these movies. I remember feeling depressed on the opening weekend of Signs for some frickin' reason. I don't know. I'm just not there, you know? And every single one is some reason that I'm like, oh, you know, I'm somewhere else emotionally. And I'm trying not to be that way, but I'm still not here.
I've seen you talk about the emotional IQ of child actors, especially Haley Joel Osment on Sixth Sense, and how he was throwing himself against the wall when you were going on. I was like, dude, throwing himself against the wall. And everybody worked harder as a result of that. So I was wondering, in terms of Noah, what his emotional IQ was and what he brought to it that you saw other kids for this part that they didn't.
You know, I mean, in retrospect, it seems obvious, but it's not obvious. Like, I remember looking at two little girls, and I couldn't tell which one should play the little girl on Signs, and one was me finding Abigail Breslin, you know, and the other girl. They looked so close, but they weren't close. But I couldn't tell in the moment. It's very hard to tell. And in that way, I struggled over Noah a little bit, but in retrospect, you say martial arts expert, a staff expert, which is what the character is. He's homeschooled, which is the closest thing we have to a monk today. You know, he has no TV. He has no cultural influences from anything. Never seen reality TV in his life. Never hung out with it. You know, he's coming from all this. His parents are incredible, incredible teachers and wonderful, wonderful people. This isn't like the weird homeschool thing. This is like, these are good, good people. And this kid is as pure as they come. This is a rare, rare kid. And then the question was, is he smart? And he's really smart. And then the real asset he had, that Haley had, is completely focused and dedicated, like, you know, around the clock dedicated and focused. Work ethic beyond. This isn't like, when do I finish? You know, that's not going to work. That's just not going to work. This is a kid like, again, let me do it again, you know, as hard. What is it? You know, he questions, you know, that kind of thing. Introspective, wants to get it right, you know, holds himself responsible, and, you know, great integrity. And that combination makes it, you know, wonderful.
Well, why were you hesitant? Because you said you struggled over it.
Not hesitant, unable to see, you know, well, maybe you should go with the actor kid who we can teach martial arts to, and all. Terrible decision that would have been. Terrible, right? But at the time, you're just like, maybe, you know, maybe we can cut to a short stunt guy. You're thinking it's possible. You don't know. At that point, you're guessing, you know? And it becomes clear.
Would you say to this kid who has no acting experience, I mean, do you feel he's moldable? Is that the right word for it? Or is it something you share with him?
It's sharing, right? You know, that if I've had meetings with, like, the greatest actors that have the greatest chops, but I don't see the humanity in them that I wanted to get for the character, and I go, it's not going to work, because we can keep getting to the core, and it's not going to be the right person. And so that's not right. So the human being was fantastic. That was right there. I'm always trying to cast human beings. I'm not trying to find 2 feet tall Daniel Day-Lewis's. I'm trying to get, you know, human beings that I love, like Abigail. I love Haley. I love Bryce. I love these people are special, unique human beings. And what I do, I don't talk down to them at all. We talk straight. I'm very open. I'm not buying it. I didn't get it. Same way I talked to Mel Gibson, same way I talked to everybody. I'm just not buying it. Are you buying it? You know, if someone said that like that, I would think you thought I was stupid. Do you think I'm stupid? Like, I would talk cleanly. And we would always talk about the characters if they were real, this person. So, you know, I don't believe that person would do that. And this is why. And then that thousands of conversations like that, and they start to see the character.
Was there an instance, for instance, as the character is unable to deal with the water for a while?
Yeah, yeah.
Was there a particular instance where he had trouble and then eventually came around?
Yes, there was, are you just saying a moment that he had trouble as an actor? Yeah, there was one moment, and I can't believe I'm blanking because it was an important moment. I told his mom, I said, I want to talk to him. I want to talk, when we wrap today, I want to talk to him, and I want to talk to him alone. I want to show him something. And she told him that I want to talk, and he's like, you're joking, right? You're joking, right? And I'm like, no. And he's like, stop kidding around. You're kidding, right? And I'm like, no, I want to talk to you. I go, is there something wrong? And I go, I just want to talk to you, all right, at the end of the day. And he was getting so hyped up about this. I brought him to the side, and I showed him a dailies, something that we had shot that day. And I was like, do you believe this? And I go, if you don't stop, you're learning bad habits. If you don't stop, I don't know what to do. I'm telling you, this is not truthful to me. You know this is not true. This is not the way you are. Right now, you're anxious. Why aren't you acting like that? The character's saying, why aren't you acting like that? Because that's totally fake, right? But right now, you're really anxious. What are you feeling right now? Why is your face not doing that? Do you see the difference? Like that conversation, I go, you with me, dude? Do not trick me. Do not trick me. And we had that conversation, and he was like, he took it dead serious. And, you know, I go, you're a pro, dude. I hired you because I know you can do this. And boom, next day, he was on it. Wow. He was on it.
Two more questions. I write for a newspaper that's on the East Coast, but it's also in Philadelphia. So I need a Represent Philadelphia shout out. Why do you support it so much? I mean, I know the answer.
What, Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Well, even in sports, when we win a championship or when we something great happens to our city, it's when we rely on our greatest asset, which is, I think, that we're super loyal. like, you know, we are like, you know, straight up loyal. Almost everybody comes back to Philly, lives back in Philly. We're like, we always return. You know, if we, even if we not, you and I are not agreeing on something, if we were in a place and somebody was picking on you, I'd beat the crap out of that person for you. Yes, exactly. You know, we all have each other's back. It's part of our thing. It's like a family. And so, you know, I don't think of it at all as like, that's my hometown. So, you know, I think of it that way, and we all feel that way about each other.
I have a question. How do you feel about 3D?
You know, I'm telling you, I'm shocked I'm even speaking this way, because I was like forget it. This movie isn't going to be in 3D. We're not shooting it in 3D. I got to get these performances out of these kids. I don't want to hear about it. I don't care what they're all saying. We're not making this movie in 3D. We're not shooting it in there. It's too cumbersome. I'm already overwhelmed. That was the first conversation. And then in post, I was like, I will look at tests, but I'm telling you right now, I'm saying no. Okay? I'm saying no. Then they showed me the first test, and I was like, they showed me 30 shots, and I was like, I literally eviscerated everybody in the room. I was like, are you kidding me? You kidding me? These 30 shots? One shot is good. One shot, and the other 29, you've hurt the movie. And I go, is this what you're presenting to me to give you an answer? Do you want to hear my answer? The answer is no. What would your answer be? What would your answer be? And I was like, silence in the room. And I said, I'll give you my full set of notes. And I gave him the full set of notes. You know, this is ridiculous. My eye's hurting here. Why would you do this? This is making it cardboard. Blah, 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 blah. The scene is about this person. Why am I staring at the background person? Because you made him too prominent. Blah, 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 blah. On and on and on. And just eviscerated every shot. And I said, I'm happy for you to do the work for free and show me another test. I'm going to keep working on my movie. And I did that. They came back. 6 shots were good. And the other 24. And I was like, I'm glad you're listening. This is great. I still have this problem. Here's the problem. I can't have one shot. You can't hurt one shot in this movie. And we did that. We went and slow. Then at some point, it became like 18 to 12. And then I'm like, wow, I could genuinely say, so now my voice got calm again. And I was like, now I'm like 18 of the shots are slightly better than they were without the 3D. And the 12 are hurt. And I'm like, And I'm like, you know, with enough time, and these guys were genuinely caring about what I was saying, this particular company and the particular amount of time and effort and their new software. And then I saw Alice. I went to see Alice, and I thought Tim did a great job with the 3D, and I felt like it was appropriate and correct. And I came back and I said, let me see one more test. And we did one more test, and it went to like 22 to 8. And I said, I had to make a decision that day, or we wouldn't have the time. Like, this company had so much integrity. They go, if you don't make a decision today, we will not guarantee the quality of the movie, and we're not going to accept the movie. And so I thought about it, and I said, you know, this whole movie has been a leap of faith and being out of my comfort zone. Let's do it. And then I'm so happy with what they did, and they really got my language. And 3D is a misnomer. It's not in your face. That's not what 3D is, even though everybody sells it that way. It's about depth. It's about making it feel like a window that you can put your hand in it. And that's what we've been trying to do, is make it feel like an alternate world that's in there. And occasionally it comes back, but that's very obtrusive and very pulls you out of the movie. So very, very sparingly you do that. But it's about depth, and you kind of take your breath away with how far it goes in. And I genuinely, when it finished the process, I genuinely said, I prefer the movie in 3D. So I'm a convert. I drank the Kool-Aid.
That's the last question.
Thanks. How important is the video game to the movie?
And how important is the video game to the movie? Interesting question. Not very. Mm-hmm. This movie and this video game. I spent time with them, and I'm happy with the video game. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big techie guy, as you probably have figured out. It's something that requires almost more lead time to do properly than the movie, to do the video game properly, because you know, the concepts that I want to do for the video game are so out there and so haven't been done yet that you need R&D that pulls even farther out. And so if we got the chance to do a second movie, my first call would be to those guys and to say, fly over here. And I don't want to hear there's no time. I'm going to give you every idea of wonderful ideas to extend the storytelling. It could be something. I think it was a nice enhancement to continue the storytelling. Not harmful, but could be additive. It could be additive, and I want it to be.
Great.
Now I'm going to have to steal one because...
Can you just... This is
anyway, and Dev...
this guy. Dev.
Get out of here.